Seems to work. Because now if you check the sound. Hello.
Yeah, well, streams of it. Sorry.
Okay. 1 hour? Or
yeah,
it's less. Yeah, I try to use less. Okay, welcome. Good to see you all. It's great to be here. I'm traveling all the way from Norway, so it's fun to be invited. My name is Ståle Hansen. I'm a office servers and services MVP. It's called now Skype, focusing on Skype for Business, of course. Been working with Skype for Business and all the other products for the last 10 years, mostly with Enterprise Voice. And today I'm going to talk about Skype for Business, voice in the clouds. An interesting topic, or? Yeah? That's good. So first, before I start, I want to ask you guys, what are you wondering about voice in the clouds? What, I'm guessing you guys have some questions, some burning questions. What are they? Come on, guys. Excuse me. Quality of service. Yep. Scaling for SMB. Can you elaborate on that? What kind of scaling are you looking for? Okay, with voice in the clouds. Yep, scaling, quality, other words and topics. Excuse me, a bit louder. Breakouts in clouds. Okay, yeah. Other stuff. Integration with other third-party products. Yep. Other topics? Come on, guys. Let's warm up here. Well, okay. That's good. So what I'm going to talk about is voice in the cloud. What is it? What's the capabilities? We're going to talk about different meanings of the different offerings. And then we're going to talk a bit about quality, not diving into it, but how to work with quality. And that's also a topic throughout the day. And then how to succeed with it. And I'm going to end the session by showing Skype for Business on Mac. Okay. So voice in the cloud explains. It's really important to know the different meanings of the offering. So we have cloud PBX, PSN calling, on-premises PSN connectivity, and PSN conferencing. Everything was released in December with the E5 offering from Microsoft, and this is part of the E5 offering, and also as add-on licenses. And I'm going to explain the difference between cloud PBX, PSN calling, and on-premises PSN connectivity, because it's really important that you guys know the difference, what kind of license is needed when, and what are the capabilities of the different licenses and offerings. So cloud PBX. The cloud PBX is the PBX features in the cloud. What does that mean? Well, if you have the Cloud PBX license, you have the capabilities of answering, initiate a call. And you get the dial pad. So it's like the Enterprise Voice license for on-premises. So without the Cloud PBX, you're not able to do any of this. Caller ID, call waiting, call forwarding, simultaneous ring. Everything you see here is not possible without the Cloud PBX. So they could have called it the PlusCal for Office 365, what is called the Cloud PBX, and it's a base license, and it's needed for PSN calling and on-premises connectivity. And then a typical question that was asked here as well, is the Cloud PBX ready for my organization? And the answer is it depends, because it depends on integrations. What kind of integrations do you want? Because the thing is, there is no, at the moment, no API like the UCMA, like we do Competella integrations, or we do switchboard integrations or call center integrations and stuff like that. So when I talk to customers that say they want to integrate with other third-party offerings, or they want to customize their solution, well, the Cloud PBX is not for them. Then it's the on-premises. Of course, you can do hybrid with on-premises, but the regular Skype for Business deployment that has the UCMA integrated, that's the API is available, and you are able to customize your deployments. You are able to read more into the monitoring reports, and you can customize your own reports and so on and so forth. So it depends if what your needs are as an organization. If it's click to call and just being able to dial and receive calls and you're happy with the features within the Cloud PBX, well then you can do it. And of course, there are going to be more and more features in Cloud PBX. I heard Microsoft say that they want to be feature parity with server within the end of 2016. That means response groups are coming. You get more advanced call handling features, stuff like that. But you can't say when, because they just appear, because Microsoft don't know themselves either. So I don't know, but that's a working goal for Microsoft. And from beyond when you have feature parity, it will be more like Exchange, where new features may be introduced in Office 365 and Skype for Business Online before it will be available on server. But right now, the feature set is more rich on the server side, especially for enterprise voice. Any questions? The camp on? I'm actually not sure. I think it's you can have multiple calls coming in. Yeah, actually not sure. Yeah, maybe. Call parking, maybe, yeah. Yeah, because you can call, park a call or pause the call, put it on hold. Maybe that's what it is. And of course, you can see that voicemail also is part of the Cloud PBX. It's moved away from Exchange and over to Skype for Business. And of course, qualified IP desk phones, integrations, and so on. Right, because you're missing the API to connect. But as Microsoft said, they are working on releasing APIs as well, but it's a new API, so it's a new integration for third-party vendors as well. So maybe on-prem is for you. And I had a customer the other week that wanted to go all in cloud, but they also wanted to integrate with Switchboard, integrated with call centers and so on, and then this isn't for them right now. But that's right now. Things are changing quite rapidly. Yeah, we'll touch upon that as well. So it depends. That's the answer. It depends on your expectations, and it depends on integrations. So the Cloud PBX is just a base license. It doesn't do anything except give you those features So in order to receive a call, you either need to have PSN calling through where you get numbers from Microsoft, or you need to connect it to your on-premises SIP trunk through on-premises PSN connectivity. So looking at PSN calling first, which isn't available in Europe yet, and as I said, it's going to be available in the UK and Puerto Rico of all the countries. guess that was easy to implement. But it's on the roadmap, right? It's they're working on it, but they can't say exactly when. So PSN calling, what's that? And it's a per tenant subscription plan to enable inbound and outbound dialing hosted by Microsoft. And the thing about PSN calling, I don't know if you guys probably have prepaid SIM cards here as well. It's like that. You prepay for 3,000 minutes a subscription. And that's for 1 month. And it's for the tenant, the entire tenant. So those 3,000 minutes are shared between all the users in the tenant. Right. Cool. Yeah, you share the gigabytes. It's the same thinking. So it's shared for all the enabled users. And it's the difference between domestic calls and international calls, because if you have 3,000 domestic calls, the international calls are 600. So it's a ratio there between international and local. And yeah, 3,000 minutes equals 600 minutes. So if you only call international, then you only have 600 minutes. And the thing is, inbound dialing decrements the calling minutes. So you pay for receiving calls. That's the biggest caveat, really, between PSN calling. It's like that right now. And for the US, that may change in the future, but that's how it is. You can have more, it's stackable. So you can buy 3,000 minutes and 3,000 minutes, that's 6,000 minutes, but you will lose all the minutes at the end of the month. So if you're not using them, they're gone, and you get 6,000 more the next month. So you can't like save it for the year. So it's 1 month subscription. And if you during the month see that you need more minutes, then you just buy another PSN calling subscription. And then the next month you will have 6,000 minutes. So it's... I think you can do that. I'm not sure how long the period you need to keep it for. But it's not like, okay, now I need 10 minutes or 100 minutes. You just buy 3,000 minutes, but then it's a subscription, right? Right now, it's dial out in 203 countries. That's increasing as well. Which means that you can do outbound dialing in all those countries. So not all the numbers in the world. And right now you also have the dial plan, which is the US one, right? So it will normalize to US dialing and normalization of numbers. Into this, you can port your existing numbers into this service. So it's a regular telephony service. So you can use your existing numbers and port them into this, or you can get the numbers directly from Microsoft. Yes, and that's why it's taking so long to enable this service, because there will be a telecom provider for this. I'm not sure who they are using as a subcontractor for this, but Microsoft is the one responsible. Right now you can't, but in the future you have to. I'm guessing, as they roll out in different countries. right now, extensions isn't supported, but they are looking into that as well. So it's just a number. Any questions? I'm looking at this as like small company offering. And for those just onboarding you to Office 365 and would think it would be nice to initiate a call, really. Yeah, Flex totally not supported. So you need to move that number over to an analog line or something. So I don't know. This is how it works today, and I haven't seen any changes for when they're rolling out in the UK. But this is evolving all the time, and this is how it is like right now. But I'm guessing this is going to change over time. It's going to be tuned, and they're going to listen to their customers and users. But this is how it is right now. So I've been playing around with the PSN calling feature and looking at how we can automate this through PowerShell. And what you need to do when you are enabling users for PSN calling, first of all, you need to enable user for Office 365. You need to assign a Cloud PBX license and then a PSN calling license. So both those licenses needs to be there. You can use it per user, do it per user, of course, like you do assigning licenses today. Then you actually can get numbers from Microsoft and you get as many numbers as you need. The numbers are free, the numbers themselves, those you get from Microsoft. And you can just reserve as many numbers as you need, so all your users can have a separate number. And then also I want to classify the number. So if it's a good looking number, we call it the gold number. And if it's less good looking, it's still a number. Numbers you want to reserve for services or high rating executives and so on. We can do that. And then we need to find all the users that's enabled with the licenses. And then we assign the available numbers to those users. And we can also allocate new numbers. So, and everything can be done, of course, through the graphical interface, but that's not that fun. We need to do it through PowerShell, of course. That's how we roll. In order to find all the users that's enabled for PSN calling, you can use the Get CS Online Voice User commandlet. And that will only show the users that has the license. So it won't show all the users that's enabled for Skype for Business or Office 365, but it will only show the users that's enabled for PSN calling or actually Cloud PBX. And you see here the PSN connectivity shows that it's online, but it could also show on-premises, which is when you want to have hybrid voice. Enterprise voice enabled means they have a license. And if you want to find all the available numbers, these numbers are allocated before we started this process. And then you use the Get CS Online telephone number and you have the switch is not assigned, which means it will only show the numbers that is not assigned to any user. So it's an easy way to get all your numbers available to you within Skype for Business Online. And then I've been working with numbers for a lot of years, and I've been to Ignite and TechEd and Link conference talking about phone number management. So I think this is fun. one thing I talked about at Ignite is about how to classify numbers, because some numbers are prettier than other numbers, and you want to reserve those. So we classify them for gold numbers, silver numbers, bronze numbers, and all other are classified as ordinary. So a typical gold number is like double, triple, like two equal digits and three equal digits, like easy to read. Double zero, triple zero, same four digits, and so on. Silver, James Bond, of course, 007, that's easy. Of course, these are something you can find for yourself. This is actually based on a function created by Paul Valiant. He's really good at regex, so he created this this function. And you can find the function actually on his blog, so highly recommended. So what I did, I created a PowerShell class and added the city code, which is actually important for where the number is allocated from. The ID is the actual phone number, and then we add the classification. So we run this through, we do the function, get phone number class, and just paste the number in there, and it will return the correct classification. It's quite easy to use. And then, of course, we in the PowerShell object, we store the city code and the number as well. So we get some more information around this. It's like automatically classified. Here we see we have one silver number and a couple of bronze numbers that maybe we want to reserve for specific users. So when assigning a number, first, we need to find the users without the number. So we get CS Online Voice User, where PSN connectivity is online and the number is zero. Find all those users, the Skype buddies. And if you want to assign, we could, of course, just assign them a number. But we want to assign them a specific number. In this case, I want to assign a silver number. So we need to loop through the object we created, find a number and assign that number to the user. You also need to assign a location ID. And that's a bit tricky because it's a grid and it's based on the locations you acquired the numbers from. In order to acquire a number in a country, you need to have an address in that country. Or location in the US, you need to have it in the state or city. So we need to assign that when you allocate a number, the street address and everything, in order to get it. So we have two locations, Manhattan and Wilmington. And we see that we assign the number based on that. It's important to know that all the numbers are listed without the plus sign, but with the country code. So this is actually plus one, which is US, and then the region code and the number itself. So when assigning the number, you need to add the plus. Even though, I know, I'm faking it. But it could, of course, match silver as well. But you need to add the plus sign. I've been working with this for 10 years, and it took me some while to actually add the plus sign, because everything here is about without the plus. So took some time for me to actually, that's me. So add the plus sign, add the number, and you need to find the correct location ID in order to assign it as well. And the location ID you find here. And then you get a number. So how to get more numbers? You can do this through the graphical interface as well, through the portal, but you can also do it through a PowerShell. And use the search CS Online telephone number inventory to search for available numbers in that region. So you actually search for, this is for New York. So we need to have the correct city code, the city, area, country, region. So that needs to be known. And you need to have, of course, an address already allocated, a location already allocated in that region. So we do the reservation of the numbers. We don't get them yet. And we ask for, in this case, 10 numbers. You can ask for 20 numbers, 100 numbers, 500 numbers. And if you don't use them, they will time out. So there's no use for us requesting more numbers than you need, unless you are owning them through a port for porting the numbers. So here we see, we have reserved numbers, and then we just check that we have 9 numbers in that location. And then we do select online telephone number inventory, and we reserve the numbers to ourselves. And we see that 19 numbers are added, or 10 numbers are added. So we have 19 in total. And so this went really fast. It's like a couple of seconds, and you have your numbers. Yeah, you need to register a location first with the address and everything, and it needs to get validated. So you need a valid location before you can request the numbers. I'm actually not sure. So, here you see we got lots of numbers, and you can assign new numbers to the user. One thing right now, you can't manipulate the number. If you, for instance, have a call center, you want the call center users to show the same number when dialing out, you can't change the number going out. So they will use their own number when dialing out. That's something they're also looking into at the moment. So this is the start, right? This is here where we start. This is going to evolve quite fast. And in a couple of years, maybe just 1 year, there will be lots more features and lots more you can do in terms of working with these numbers. I'm convinced that what we see today is just a start. Any questions? Of course, we can check the classifications on the new numbers, and we see we got a new bronze number in that region. So. This is how we work with numbers in online, and it's actually easier than on the server, because here you actually know what kind of numbers you have available. On the server side, you need to know that from your operator, but here it's actually listed within the product itself. So working with numbers on premises, you need to create your own list of all the numbers and number series you have. And here everything is available. That's the biggest difference. So let's look into on-premises PSTN connectivity, unless there is more questions around PSTN calling. So I'm guessing get more experience with this when it becomes available in our countries. It's not available in Norway either. But this is how it is right now anyway. So on-premises PSTN connectivity, what's that? Well, it's users hosted online with PSTN breakouts in your data center. So the users are hosted online. And anyone remember hybrid voice from 2010 or 2013 that was deprecated? That's where the users weren't quite online and the numbers weren't quite on premises and it didn't quite work. Well, this works. The users are online. They can allocate numbers that's in your data center from your SIP trunk provider. So there you have two options. You have a hybrid with existing deployment that was explained in a keynote. And then you have the cloud connector edition. So that's the two options you have. So the existing deployment, I'm meaning the full Sky for Business deployment with front-end servers, edge servers, mediation servers, and all the MCUs and the APIs. This is the short version. The long version will come after with Steven. So, but it requires Cloud PBX, the license, for your users to be able to be enabled for on-premises. It's a feature through E5, or you actually can get it as an add-on to E3. You can use the existing deployment, which can be Link 2010, Link 2013, or Sky for Business. So actually back to Link Server 2010. And of course, standard and enterprise doesn't matter. The edge server, however, needs to be Link 2013 or 15. Mediation server also need to be Link 2013 or Sky for Business server, or co-located if you want to. It requires Azure AD Sync, and that's for to synchronize the new settings, the on-premise online settings. So that's supported only through Azure AD Sync. So their sync is not supported when synchronizing the users. ADFS is strongly recommended, but it's not a requirement. So you can do password sync if you want to do that. If you don't want to host your entire sign-on process for online on-premises, then you can do password sync and it still works. But when you sync in your users, you need to use Azure AD Sync. So Steven will go through this in more detail after this session. So hybrid voice with Steve Hottum. The thing is about on-premises PSTN connectivity is that conferencing MCU is online. Which means you need to use the combine this with PSTN conferencing. So the thing is, when you create a meeting and you're using either PSTN calling or on-premises PSTN connectivity with the cloud PBX, the users are hosted online. So when they create a meeting, it's a Skype for Business meeting hosted by Office 365 and not your on-premises deployment, even though you're doing a full Skype for Business deployment there. If the user is online, the conference will be hosted online. The content? Yeah, so... No, everything will be online. So you will use the Skype for Business online conferencing service. And not your on-premises if you have a full Skype for Business deployment. So even though you have a full Skype for Business deployment and you're doing hybrid voice with users online, you should have the PSN conferencing license as well in order to get a dial-in and dial-out in online meetings, to get that number in the invites. Yes. So even though you have it on premises, when you create a meeting, it's an online meeting and you don't have your, it's not the same conference. So if you want to have the data stay within your data center, then you should have users online on premises. But if you have users online, they are in Office 365 and that's where the conference is. So the conference is following the user and not your servers. That's important. That's how it is today as well, right? If you have multiple pools, the users in this pool will host a meeting if they're doing the invites, and all the users in this pool will join that meeting. So that it's the same for online. Actually, I don't think number porting is available for PSTN conferencing because you get fixed numbers. I don't think so, actually. And the question is, why would you? Why do you need to have that specific number to be like your number? That's just a question. So I don't think that's an issue, really. So PSN conferencing is part of the E5 license. It can also be combined with E1 and E3 licenses using the PSN conferencing add-on. It costs $4 per user if you use the add-on. And it's no minute charge. Actually, it's free. So you don't pay for dial-in and dial-outs, but within reason, right? If people start misusing this, it may not stay that way. So, and this is available today. Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, and Belgium is available. And right now it's 30 countries. This is a bit old slide. It's updating, and you have dial outs now in 60 countries, and you saw the keynotes, it's increasing. So that's just the dial-in numbers, the numbers that get shown when you do the invites. So this is available today, and if you have Skype for Business online today, you should have PSN conferencing because it actually creates a conferencing bridge that works in any scenario, and it can replace those existing dial-in like conferencing offerings by the operators and so on. And it can maybe replace WebEx, GoToMeeting, stuff like that as well, because now you actually can dial into the meeting. So those who want to do that or have good telephones or are used to do that, they can do that. But you guys can join via the Skype for Business client. This is actually great. It's actually my favorite feature is conferencing in Skype for Business and telephone conferencing. It's so easy just to drag people into the meeting. And when they are even not in online, you can just call them and have them in the meeting and get that decision done right away. That's an awesome feature. So you have dial out, right? And in more countries than you actually have the offering. Any questions, comments? Yes. So what you here have is one or two numbers per country. The thing is, it's the same. You can assign any number, really. It doesn't matter. You get into the same conference. It's just about what number is shown in the invite, right? So if you have a Norwegian user, you want to show the Norwegian number for that user. But you can show the Swedish number for the same user, it will get into the same conference. So it's just a number. And the point is that you get local number. So here we have Tominga, and he has default number. And the thing is that the conference ID is the same for every meeting. So you get assigned one conference ID and one number. So they will dial into the same conference every time. Of course, you can change this on the user. It's just changing, and it won't change anything more than the dial-in number. So it's just a number, and the goal here is to have a local text when you're dialing in, right? That's the goal of having a number. So if you're doing an invite, I'm based in Norway and inviting you guys, you can click on the show more numbers, and you will find all these numbers available and find what number you can dial that's local to you. So right now it's available in 33 countries. It will be available in 60 countries. So now you can have local dial-in to a Skype for Business conference in 60 different countries. I don't think so for PSN conferencing. That's just for PSN calling. Because this number is not reserved by you. It's reserved by Microsoft. So this is an offering by Microsoft. This is a Microsoft number. It's not a number you own. The only thing you need to have is Cloud PBX, or not even Cloud PBX, only PSN conferencing in order to have these numbers. Per user. Yeah. And some have multiple numbers. For local, if they have local text in those countries. And so you can have a global user base. They can have their own dial-in numbers and they can look up what kind of number they can dial in from the local area. No. It will show this number that you have chosen for them. But of course, you can add disclaimer saying if you need a number, another number or something like that, you can click on show more numbers. And you will get to a web page that shows all these numbers. No, it's the same fixed conferencing ID. On the dial-in side for per user. So even though you're changing stuff around, it's the same ID. Yes. One more thing though. Of course, there's a limitation today on worldwide location of your Office 365 data center. If you are a European country and you register for Office 365, you are based in Europe. So if you assign a number in Singapore, you may have latency issues, right? Because your conference is hosted in Europe. But that's also something they are looking into. They have been saying that for several years. But you need to be aware of that as well. So it's not magical. You still have latency issues, but the quality is actually quite good. Even though you allocate numbers in different regions in the world. Was there another question? Yeah.
Be sure that no one else is listening.
Right. Right, and that's the caveat with PSN conferencing that I want to highlight. So here I have two meetings, right? And I have my Sky for Business meeting, and then I also have had my conference meeting. So I joined with my Sky for Business client, and there's no one there. I'm the only one. And then I go back to the other meeting. I'm the only one. I go back to the first meeting I had, this meeting, and I join with the Sky for Business client. And I see that someone is waiting for me. Like, we have a scheduled call. So Tominge is waiting for me. And we see that we are two in the call. And then someone dials into the meeting using this dial-in information. So here's the Norwegian number and my fixed conference ID. So they dial into that meeting. And here you also see that you can find the local number. It's quite visible in there. So now I have someone dialed into the meeting. You see two entities joining. You see them, the one who's dialed into the meeting. And you also have this, like, uninvited guest. It's actually to let you know that someone may be uninvited in the call. Because now I went back to the previous meeting. I was alone. Now I'm not. They will actually join all my conferences. But they're still here, right? So you can remove them. And this one reminds you that someone may be uninvited. That's the point of this entity. Yeah, that's something you can adjust in the conference, like audio, play a sound or announce when people are joining. Yeah. So, but this is the caveat, right? Something you need to be aware of. It's the same dial-in conferencing, even though your Sky for Business meeting is unique. Actually, I haven't tried that, but probably it's like. I won't use it like that. That's probably gonna at least not launch it for your user. Like, now we can have 500 people in a meeting. No, it's just this is not someone. It's just an entity reminding you that this one might not be invited. So this is not a person. So this, as soon as one user joins, then this one will join as well. It's here. It's like as long as a PSN user is joining the conference, then this one will appear as well. If that was your question. No, it's not a user. Yeah. You need to ask them who they are and what meeting they're trying to join. Yes, or you can ask them, who are you? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, reminding you to ask, who are you and... Right. So it's just a reminder. But they actually have thought about it. They didn't fix it. They just added this. you probably can have them come into the lobby as well. But when you meet them, they will join like this. And they will join all your conferences. I don't know. No one knows. So you only get, this is just a reminder, like, remember to ask who they are. Yes. Yes, yes. Because they can join multiple conferences, right? So it may be that you started with the one conference and they called in and it didn't hang up. When you start your next conference, they're still there. Like, it's probably time to remove them now. And of course, you can just remove the uninvited. Just remove it, but it's just a reminder. It's security by you asking them, but yeah. This is how it is. So the point is, it's the same conference ID, and you need to be aware of that. Actually, I'm not sure. That's something to try. But then you probably are aware that of the concept. Yeah. But for you is to remind your users, if someone dives into a conference, ask them who they are and what their purpose are and name and number and everything. So this may have changed in time, but that's how they have solved it right now. It's one unique conferencing ID, even though you have different IDs for your clients when they are joining. Yes, but you can, yeah, and you also are able to have them wait in the lobby as well. Okay, so that's PSN conferencing. A bit about licensing. So you have the Enterprise E5 and Sky for Business Online. So what's part of E5 is Cloud PBX and PSN conferencing. PSN calling is a subscription, as we remember, so that's in addition to the E5 license. But you need Cloud PBX in order to have PSN calling. So that's why PSN calling is not included in E5, because it's a subscription, you pay extra for that. I think it's the same subscription and it's like mixed. It costs the same, but less numbers if they are international. Yeah, it's also separate. So you can have it as an add-on, Cloud PBX and PSN conferencing as add-on. So if you're thinking of doing a hybrid voice and you have E1 or E3 license, then you can only add Cloud PBX and connect your on-premises SlipTrunk. So yeah, it's applicable to E1 and E3 as add-ons. It depends, again. If you're needing more of the features in E5, of course it's easier to buy the bundle. But if you probably only need Cloud PBX or only need PSN conferencing, I'm guessing it's easier to just get that. It's almost the same price, but the bundle is cheaper if you need the other features available in E5 as well. So it depends. So yeah, that was the calling features. And so how can voice in the cloud compete with on-premises voice or IP service? Because you know, the issue is that the users are hosted online. typically over the internet. You don't have quality of service. You don't have control over the end-to-end communication. So how can we compete? And the challenge is, of course, voice in an unmanaged network. Internet is an unmanaged network. You can't have quality of service in an unmanaged network. So you are relying on how internet feels today to succeed with your calls and conferences, right? So the solution is Azure Express Routes. And Azure Express Route is all about having a dedicated line, part of an MPLS, into the closest Microsoft Edge, which gives you access to Office 365 and Enterprise Mobility Suite services and Azure services. So it's not just for a data center, it's also for Office 365. No, for internal workers, like when you're in your office building, you get a more prioritized flow of traffic. At your home office, it's the same. And Tommy is going to talk more about this in later today. So express routes. So what defines success when deploying this? Of course, it's administrators' quality of life. Like, I have the tools available, so I know what's going on. And also users getting the expected voice quality, that it's stable, it's persistent, and it's not choppy or delayed or whatever. That's a success rate here, right? So in terms of IT pro tools, and you guys probably know this, Event Zero has been brought up a couple of times. This is actually huge. That Microsoft didn't buy Event Zero, but they bought the underlying technology. And which means that Event Zero does a lot with highlighting quality data within your environment. Today, they can do it for your on-premises environment, and Microsoft is now going to offer this as part of Sky for Business Online. And this is actually quite good because they're highlighting data in a really good way. And so you can really dive into how your conferences are doing, how your users are doing, how's the experience, and even more. So what we have today is nothing compared to what we're going to get. So it's changing. Of course, you have some tools today. You have the call quality dashboard. This is on Norwegian, sorry, but it's all about showing how the network is performing. But in it's not granular at all, so it's just all the calls and how they are doing in general. Doesn't really show you that much. It shows some histograms and some lines. That's awesome. And then you have the reports today. Total rubbish. Really doesn't really give you much. PSN usage, that's cool, that's new, but peer-to-peer sessions, it's like all the users in your entire organization. You can't look into specific locations and so on, so it just gives you an overview of how that it's actually used, and that's good, of course, but it's not much to work with, so that's why this is a really good news. As I know, they're going to implement this in online, but maybe in on-prem as well. I don't know. That's where we're going to see more new features online and then maybe on-prem. No. So it's not exposed to you. But I've heard that they are thinking about that as well. So what we see today is just the start. This is when in 1 year we're looking back at this, like, really? That's all you had? So stuff are changing. Then you can use my rate my call as well. That's going to be exposed in online at a later time. So rate my call is the pop-up you get in some calls, and where the users can give you feedback of how they experience the call. And this is really good feedback. So if you have some specific users that are complaining more than others, then you can use this specific for those users. This is available on premises today for Skype for Business Server, and it's available in the client even though you're online, but the data isn't exposed yet, but it will be. Users also can check their calls in on-premises. You have this one, check my call. You dial in, talk, and they plays back the audio so you know how it sounds. You don't have that for online, but you can use a Skype service. So when you're online, you can search for Echo 123, which is the Skype consumer version of the same feature. So we add this to your contact list, the Echo Sound Test Service. And then you can dial in and find out how you sound. So it's a good tool for users that wants to make sure they have a good experience. So what about terminal services? Anyone here use Citrix remote desktop or have customers that do that? In Norway, it's huge. And Citrix have a really good footprint in the market. And what happened is that Microsoft and Citrix went together and have now a joint support statement for how to deliver Skype for Business in remote desktop or terminal services. Of course, you need to use Citrix to do this. And so this is the ability to do Skype for Business voice in a virtual desktop environment where media is processed locally. It's like the VDI plugin, but better. So the thing is, earlier you have the version one of this as well, the optimization pack. This has been existing for over a year. And then it was only supported by Citrix. So if you call into Microsoft, I have some issues with my voice and they discover that you're using it over Citrix, then you needed to call Citrix. Now they have a joint support statement. You can call either one and they will help you. And then route it to Microsoft or Citrix. When it's huge. So this was released in January. So Microsoft did this before they actually updated their own VDI plug clients. It's supported actually for CNAPP 6.x, which means that it's supported on existing CEN desktop and CEN app deployments. Of course, you should upgrade to the newest one as they tell you, but it's supported on all the and deployments. That's yes, I will get back to that. So on the server side, it supports Link Server, Skype for Business Server, and it supports online, right? Because the VDI plugin from Microsoft doesn't support online, but Citrix does. So now you can actually deliver Skype for Business online through terminal services, and you have to use Citrix to do it. That's huge. On the receiver side, it works for Windows, it works for Linux, it works for Mac, and even CentOS. How cool is that? So actually works for Linux, that's crazy. It works for CentOS, but you need to have some more juicy thin clients, so you have enough CPU and memory. That's a requirement. You can't use it on those thinnest thin clients. So you need to have more. And it's included in CentOS version 8.2. The media engine is included. Here's the feature set. It supports click to run, which means that it supports Skype for Business 2016 clients. It's active speaker. It's got emoticons and Skype for Business graphical interface, but not gallery view. So it's current speaker still. So here's a demo of the Skype for Business client on the Mac. So this is a Mac. And you see you have the Skype for Business UI. And you join a meeting, create a video. When you hover the video, of course, you won't get the preview. Because that's on the back end, not the local. But media here, audio and video, gets processed locally. And here you will see on the device tab, you will see that you have your native USB devices. So that's good. This is Windows Virtual Desktop consumed on a Mac. So on the Windows side, this is the video that's got sent from the Mac clients. Look how happy we are. It's like, yay. So it works actually quite good on a Mac client. So we can deliver Sky for Business on Mac today. You don't have to wait for a summer. Yeah, Citrix, it's... Yeah, of course. No. Yeah, actually it is. Yeah, but not for a local application. That's also offering from Citrix. So, but the thing here is that media goes locally. And also what's important to know, media will go through the Edge server if you are external or directly to your users peer-to-peer or through the conferencing server. And it will also have a fallback mode. So if your Edge server fails, it will fall back to doing media over the IKE protocol. And that's also something Microsoft not fond of, but it's supported by Microsoft, right? Because then you're doing media over a different platform. It's TCP based. It's not optimized. It's not optimum media path, but it works. But the video gets not that good. Audio works. But of course, this will get with HD video and everything. So it's a poorer experience. So the audio is okay and video is like VGA video. And you see a clear difference. But you have a fallback, which is important. It's there. If the media engine fails or something on the Sky for Business side fails or something like that, well, you have the fallback mode. So you can read more. I think I had the article here somewhere. Just search for Sky for Business and Citrix and you'll find more info. End note here, check out Sky for Business preview. Here we'll get all the new stuff that's coming. Test it out. You need to be an organization as of today to do it, but in time you can do it as a user as well. Here is where the Mac client will be published and so on. I'm looking forward to test out the Skype meeting broadcast enhancements. I'm looking forward to see how that pans out. So if you want to stay ahead, as I said in keynote as well, check out Skype programs. So that's the topic I covered, like voice in the clouds. Everyone now knows what PSN calling is, what cloud PBX is, PSN conferencing. Everyone should have that regardless. Quality, we're going to look into that today. And how to succeed is to meet your users' expectations. Okay. Thank you.